This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me break it down for you again.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Devontae Smith, touchdown!
Smitty got it.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You hold good football teams to 10 points, you should win the football game.
Earlier on the show, Chargers wide receiver Ladd McConkey. Coming up, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth. Actors Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen. And now, Rich Eisen.
Well, that's right. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, and of course, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Hello, Sirius XM Channel 80 listeners as well. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We just said goodbye to Ladd McConkey, but as we refer to him here as Mr. Garvey once upon a time.
D.D. McConkey.
Listen, you know we like being right around here.
But love it.
But we like being nuanced. We like just hanging out. Mm-hmm. Listen, what this is all about is about being heard and having that acknowledged. Did you see what the Chargers just sent out? Birthday wishes to Ladidi.
I don't know if they spelled it right.
I don't.
Who
listen,
cares? That's awesome.
I agree. I think there are.
That's incredible.
It's right. But I think it is D-E-E-D.
Yeah, right? We need a little more.
I mean,
a few
but
more
that's,
E's.
But let's not.
Yeah,
let's
I'm not,
not
going to.
Let's not pick nits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like that. That is amazing.
So
that is D-D. So good. I'm telling you, man.
When D.D. McConkey.
When Herbert said D.D. after the game,
he
I was
did.
Just like, I had to rewind it.
Well,
like,
they've now shortened it.
Just D.D.
They've now shortened it as a nickname.
D.D.
Fantastic.
Shout out to
Ted Danson, Mary Steenburgen coming up in hour number three. It'll be great.
Genius. By the way, that was awesome what we just did.
That was so much fun with the USC Trojan students of Professor Schuster.
Because we never have people watching us.
We have an audience. We like an audience.
We like audiences. It's kind of like, oh, wow, they're like really paying attention.
Usually it's just us chickens zooming with Mark Schlereth.
Look at all those chickens.
Mark Schlereth back here on the Rich Eisen Show from Fox Sports, three-time Super Bowl champion. Good to see you, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good, Rich. How are you, my friend?
I'm just going to jump into the conversation that we were having at the end of hour number one about Matt LaFleur flat out asked in his media post-press conference last night after the Packers lose their first game at home after giving up 10 or fewer points, by the way, since Jim Harbaugh's Bears from Mike Ditka beat them 10-0 in Lambeau Field in 1991. So it's been a long time since they've seen a loss like this. And now they're 5-3-1. He was flat out asked about his job status. Do you think it's fair that Matt LaFleur is on a hot seat right now in Green Bay, Mark?
No. Matt LaFleur has been a hell of a coach. They've won a lot of games in Green Bay. No. Do I think that's fair? I think it's endemic of the National Football League right now, Rich. When you look around the National Football League, the level of inconsistency, especially on the offensive side of the ball, it's littered across the National Football League. So, you know, you can sit there and say it's an injury issue. You can say, hey, it's a lack of preparation. It's a lack of continuity because of the way we practice or the lack thereof practice. All the different things that are attributing factors to the lack of consistent offensive play. And we've seen it with, you know, we saw it on Thursday night between the Raiders and the Broncos and the lack of consistency on the offensive side of the ball, especially for the Broncos. We've seen it, obviously, in that Green Bay Philadelphia game. We've seen Buffalo get shut out for three quarters against the Miami Dolphins. So we have seen this on a consistent basis throughout the season. And I think it points back to just the way we practice or the lack of practice, the lack of doing things in full pads, the things that have contributed to, you know, offensive inconsistencies in this league.
Interesting. I mean, I'm going to call an Omaha here with my producer, Mike Hoskins. Put up the NFC and AFC standings because you're not wrong. You know, with the NFC standings, you're talking about offensive inconsistency. The Eagles last night had it on the same field, right? And then you take a look at the Bears. That's been somewhat inconsistent. The Lions have a new play caller. His name is Dan Campbell. The Panthers are another example. The Vikings are another example for various reasons. The only outliers right now in that regard with 7-win teams, the Seahawks and the Rams, have not had those problems. And then you take a look at the American Football Conference. You mentioned the Bills being one of them. The Chiefs, had a nice stretch, but we've seen some up and down play from there. The Broncos, my goodness gracious, either there's a fourth quarter wake up or there isn't, but it doesn't matter when they're 8-2. The Steelers, we just saw it against the Chargers on Sunday night. The Colts and the Patriots may be outliers there as well. So you think it's an inconsistency due to practice and the way that the way that the collective bargaining agreement overall sets up the way players can be utilized in season and not, Mark?
Yeah, I think that has a big, that's a big part of it. I think the other thing that happens is when you don't practice that way, it's really hard to establish an identity. This is what we are. And so, like, when I travel around the league calling games, it's unbelievable how much is called at the line of scrimmage. And it's always been, there's always been that kind of check with me or can it packages across the National Football League. But in today's game, like 80-90%, it feels like it's called at the line of scrimmage. Like, hey, we're going into the line of scrimmage with multiple plays. Like, we can run this or we can run that. Hey, if the strong safety is down, we're checking to a weak side run. If the weak safety is down, we're checking to a strong side run. If they keep two safeties up, we're going to check to a pass. And ultimately, it's to say, hey, we want to get a premium play based upon the look we're getting. Well, the problem is those looks change. The other problem is when you're always kind of waiting around as an offense, it's hard to establish an identity. It's hard to just come off the ball and shorten somebody's neck because you're always just kind of waiting around to see and letting the defense kind of dictate what we're going to do as an offense. And some of that is because you don't get to practice a lot of those things in the regular season. You don't get to say, hey, man, this is what we run. We're going to come off and, in my time, I'm sure you've seen Dodgeball, the movie Dodgeball, one of my favorite movies.
Yes.
But Global Gym, Global Gym's their motto was, we're better than you and we know it. And so in my day, like we would line up and just say, we're going to whip your ass because we've run this 10,000 times. You've defended it 100 times. We're better at it than you. So you can line up in anything you want to line up. I've done everything. It's like you can line up in a 57 front, a 4-3 front, a 25 front. You can line up in 3-4 front. You can line up in anything you want. We're going to line up and we're going to whip you because we've done it so much more than you. Well, that's not how the game is played today anymore because you don't get to put those pads on. You don't get to work those reps in practice. We've got to save everybody's not only everybody's health, but we got to save everybody's feelings nowadays. We can't hurt anybody's feelings because then that would be a penalty worse than I don't know what. But anyhow, those are the things that are going on in today's game. And I think it's one of the reasons you see so much inconsistency from the offensive side of the ball.
So are you saying when you're wondering why the Eagles don't have an identity, they should throw a wrench at it? Is that what you're saying? Like if you don't have a ball, you should just take a wrench, sort of.
Yes,
like,
yes, just yes, take, yes. Because if you can dodge a ball, you can dodge a wrench.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody knows that.
Well, I mean, in that respect, Mark, though, is how does a team whose identity was so clear last year with the Eagles, have trouble finding it this year? Is it as simple as their offensive coordinator is new? I mean, let's turn the page to the Eagles side of things. Are any concerns here for a team that otherwise is atop the conference, despite how ugly it looks at times?
And part of that, part of that is the growth. Like, hey, listen, new coordinator. It's always to get on that same page and have that same feeling. Like, I'm a big believer in. If we go up to a certain situation, and we always talk about situational football, I get into a certain situation and it's third down and two or second down and two, whatever it is. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, three plays are coming in. These are the three plays we run in this situation. And it doesn't matter that the defense knows because, again, we're better than you and we know it. And so there's comfort in that. There's consistency and continuity in that. And, And I think that that's part of the learning curve when you get a new coordinator. The other thing for them is, hey, listen, we ran the ball so effectively last year. Well, some of our offensive line has changed. We've had some injuries on the offensive line. We changed our right guard. So there's a lack of continuity there. So that changes a little bit. The other thing is, can we continue to put our quarterback in harm's way with the run stuff that we do? We want to develop into more of a drop back passing, you know, organization. So that's part of the change that goes on. And then all of a sudden you feel, you know, you get 8, 9, 10 games in, you're like, yeah, we're not very productive doing what we're doing right now. And so I think all of that feeds into it, you know, where you want to grow as an offense, how you want to, you know, develop as an offense. And then you've got, are your wide receivers complaining? You're like, do they want the ball more? You know, like, is AJ Brown happy? So I think there's a lot of these things that go into trying to grow an offense sometimes. And I'm just a big believer in when things aren't working, Rich, and this is just from experience of playing and then calling games and being around the NFL, you know, most of my adult life, is that anytime that I have struggled or we have struggled as an offense, the answer is always simple it down. That's always the answer. And because when you have it as complex and it becomes so complex that people have to think, I mean, we're a game full of PE majors, right? I mean, honestly, like I'm a general studies. I have a general studies degree from the University of Idaho, right? So like my education's an inch deep and a mile wide. Keep the questions, you know, general and I can answer them. Get specific and we're going to be in trouble. So like, I think there's an aspect of it as I want to be as aggressive as possible. And the more I have to think, the slower I end up playing. And that's part of, you've got to call an offense, not based on all the things you can do, but you've got to call an offense based on the dumbest guy you have on the offensive side of the ball, right? We got to make sure that guy doesn't screw up. And so you've got to be able, like, we might have a bunch of smart dudes, right? And a bunch of guys that can assimilate and really understand multiple complex kind of play calls and all that stuff. But if we got one dumb dude on the offensive line or one dumb dude in the backfield, then we got to dumb our offense down to that guy's level so that we can be successful. And you got to realize that you'll never make up for that dude if he can't handle, you know, the calls and the checks and all the different things that we do as an offense.
Mark Schlereth, keeping it simple here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Yes.
Sometimes
yes.
You just waste your time with complexities. If there's
that's
one,
right.
there's one dumb guy, doesn't matter how many Harvard or Stanford grads are on your team, it's the lowest common denominator bringing you down.
The weakest link.
Fantastic. So who's the best team in the NFL entering week 11? I was talking over the last couple days, Mark, like I can't recall a more wide open Super Bowl race in my time.
I'll answer your question. The team right now that I think is the best team on film that I've watched, the Rams.
Okay.
I think the Rams are, I think obviously both lines of scrimmage, they can play defensively. They can get after the quarterback. They can do all those things. I think one of the cool things for me is going back to Sean McVay when he first got to the Rams. I remember doing a game, maybe his first or second year, and they were in 11 personnel, 3 wide receivers, 1 tight end, 1 running back, 98% of the time. The only time they got out of 11 personnel was at the end of the half or the end of the game when they were going kneel down, essentially, to get out of the half or get out of the game, right? They won, victory formation, they got out of it. Right now, when you watch them, they probably are the number one team in football when it comes to 3 tight end formations, 2 tight end formations. They got 4 dudes that play tight end. They can all play. And they all are cookie cutters, right? They're all like 6'5", 250. They can all run. They can all block on the edge. They can all pass protect. That's a problem. It's a problem for NFL teams because you dictate to the defense. And so they've got all these dudes. And ultimately, when they get into these heavy formations, you want to match them in heavy personnel, right? You want to bring in your big bodied linebackers and all that stuff. And this is just science, Rich. I haven't checked it out with anybody other than me. Again, it goes to the general studies aspect of this, but fat guys don't run as fast as skinny guys. Like, so I want to get as many fat guys on defense out there playing as I possibly can. And because of the tight end formations they use, they get a lot of fat guys that don't run as fast. There are great matchups for those guys, and they're cutting people up and on the offensive side of the ball, and their quarterback has been lights out.
Yeah, and so the defense doesn't know what play's coming from the same formation, and that's been a McVay staple for 9 years. So you choose them as the best in football. Who's the best in the AFC? You got 8 win teams in 3 different spots. And it's, you know, I know the Colts just bounced back and Jonathan Taylor may be the MVP of the league, but the Patriots, who you've seen in recent days, Mark, I know everybody's waiting for the pumpkin to come, out of the carriage here, but I don't know, man, Vrabel's got them cooked up and along with McDaniels and Drake May, and the rookies are doing all right. They had a hell of a draft. They're all playing well. They're all contributing. Christian Gonzalez, maybe the best defensive player people don't talk about. They're for real, Mark. I kind of went high register there, but I mean, who's the best in the AFC? What do you got for me?
Yeah, they are for real. I don't think there's any question. And like I wouldn't hesitate to put the New England Patriots there. I mean, they're exceptionally well coached under Mike Vrabel, and you can say what you want about Josh McDaniels as a as a head coach, but as an offensive coordinator, that dude knows what he's doing. And the way Drake May is playing, I mean, they are so good. And it's interesting to watch Drake May, you know, how they're operating as an offense, how they're giving him the front side of the read 1-2. And then, you know, and to having a conversation with Josh McDaniels, he goes, hey, 1-2, I'd like him to get to 3 or 4. And he does occasionally, but most of the time it's 1-2, take off, go make something happen with your feet, you know, go sit, make something happen with your legs. And there's this natural progression that's going on right now as he is growing as a quarterback. And they're allowing that to happen. They're not trying to force it to happen. They're allowing it to happen on a natural level. And he's athletic enough to bail himself out of situations. And then they're exceptionally well coach. Did you see Henderson running down the sideline and then looking over at Vrabel to go, can I go in here? Or do you want me to kneel? Like, what do you want me to do? It's phenomenal to watch. And I've been out there, I've done a couple of their games, watch Mike Vrabel in practice, watch the way this team works. The attention to detail. I think they're as well coached as any team in the National Football League, and their players are playing lights out football right now. And they're big and physical. So, like, it's a Vrabel trait. We're going to play exceptionally smart. We're going to be big, and we're going to be physical and control both lines of scrimmage. And that's what they've been able to do.
And then, of course, in the AFC, there's 2 division winners and year in and year out. Well, I guess 3, right? I mean, 4. My goodness gracious. I'm on the fly here. Chiefs have sat atop the AFC West forever and a day. The Bills atop the AFC East forever and a day. The Texans, who you're seeing against the Titans calling on Fox this week, Mark, with a big comeback win over the Jaguars to keep any hopes that they have alive of making the playoffs, maybe as a wild card because the Colts are so far in front of them. And then you got the Ravens at 4-5, now just a game behind in the AFC North. Which of those 4 teams do you think that usually come up on top will, in fact, win their division? You could say none if you want, Mark. What do you think?
I think the Ravens will win that North division. And I think that, and I think the Ravens at the end of the day, you know, with health, because they had 4 or 5 guys on the defensive side of the ball that weren't playing. Obviously, Lamar wasn't playing for a while. So, and I just believe that the rest of that division with the Cincinnati Bengals and the Browns, not very good. Browns are awesome on defense, but just not overall very good football team right now. And then I think the Steelers are kind of paper tigers at this particular point in time. So I think Ravens are going to come out and win that division.
All right, so let me remove Ravens from it. Texans, who you're seeing, Bills, and I'm going to put you in a spot. I know you're seeing the Texans this week. Bills or Chiefs, one of those 3 have a win their division or none. What do you think? Call your shot
here. I think the Chiefs have a chance still to win. The Chargers have had all kinds of injuries. They're sitting at 7-3 right now, but they're an inconsistent football team. Not that the Chiefs aren't. The Broncos, outstanding defense. They play this weekend, the Broncos and the Chiefs, outstanding defense, but they have sputtered on offense. If not for a couple of fourth quarters, that team would be in third place in the AFC West right now. So I think the Chiefs still have a chance to rectify things. Andy Reid coming off a bye week. We know he's like 21-4 or something ridiculous coming off the bye week. So, I think the Chiefs have a chance to still win this division, only a couple of games behind or a game behind, I guess, the Chargers and a couple of games behind the Broncos.
His podcast, Stinkin' Truth Podcast with Mark Schlereth. Get it wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, check Mark out with the Titans and Texans on Fox in the early window of a terrific Week 11. Thanks for the time, as always, brother. You make us smarter and laugh at the same time. Thanks.
I appreciate you, Rich. Take care, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. General Studies from Idaho himself, Mark Schlereth, studying generally here on the Rich Eisen.
An inch deep and a mile long. I've never heard that before.
Mark. He studies generally. In the same way that grocery shoppers manage generally.
Yeah. Every week he says something that just has us cracking up for a few days.
Outstanding. All right, we'll take a break. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Also still heading this hour. Is Joe Burrow coming back?
And back.
For Thanksgiving? It's coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
If you've shopped online, chances are you've bought from a business powered by Shopify. You know that purple Shop Pay button you see at checkout? The one that makes buying so incredibly easy? That's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it. Because Shopify makes it incredibly easy to start and run your business. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. Shopify gives you a leg up with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style and forget about the code. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Spread your brand's word with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/network. Go to shopify.com/network. Shopify.com/network.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. On the TV side for radio audience, we just showed Keegan-Michael Key being Mr. Garvey when he was here doing a roll call.
My favorite show to ever do is Richard Eason.
By the way, speaking of taking roll call, Susie's left, right? She's gone?
Yeah, yeah. What happened?
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, now you can have a donut.
Okay. You know she's going to see this, though, right?
Oh,
what's up, Trevor?
Huh?
That's rich to that donut.
Well, she brought donuts for all the kids, but.
Yeah, she's definitely going to see this, though.
Oh. She was checking out if I was circling those donuts. Now she's gone.
Don't let her donut shame you.
I'm never going to let her do that.
So why'd you wait till she was gone?
Exactly.
Good question.
Yeah, come on.
All right.
Fear? Is that what
Let's do was? Overreaction Monday and Tuesday. Ready to do that? We'll take a phone call first so everybody can get those ducks in a row. Kyle in New Hampshire. Let's take your phone call. What's up, Kyle? Hampshire. How are you, sir?
Let's go. How's it going?
What's going on, Kyle?
Oh, you know, it's Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day to you guys.
Yes,
same to you.
And to all those who serve and have served. It's a Marine Corps birthday today, correct? Isn't it?
It was yesterday. Okay. So I'm recovering from both the Marine Corps' 250th birthday yesterday and the Packers' abysmal offensive performance, both great reasons to drink.
Nice.
Ooh, Ryan Vice News.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to throw out there, I know you guys already started to cover it. I don't think we can necessarily, I don't know who you get instead of LaFleur, but the LaFleur teams offensively have been so undisciplined that always make mistakes in key moments against good teams.
Right? Dude, right? But I get it, Kyle.
Team so much of the time.
Not to call anybody out, okay. If Love wasn't missing somebody and he was on point,
right.
The ball on a fourth down hit Melton on the shoulder pad. I mean, it was a perfect throw. Another one, Christian Watson even tweeted out today, somebody where the ball was thrown deep to him, okay? There was one ball mm-hmm. that Aikman said, hey, if Love puts it towards the boundary, that's a big play. Love missed that one. Another one where he launched it down the field to Watson, who watched it fly towards him, then turned around and for some reason decided to play defense on it, and the ball hit him in the back of the helmet. And somebody tweeted out today, should Christian Watson have caught this? He retweeted it and wrote, yes.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So you wouldn't talk about.
Absolutely.
It's not all on the floor, but it always
Agreed.
Does get blamed on the coach.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, and so.
Agreed, no.
Come on. You listen, and I'll just say this. Kyle, thank you for the call. And you can hang on if you want to listen. It's up to you. Just ripping it straight from headlines. You're like, oh, Giants should have fired Daboll a long time ago. Oh, he should have been gone after the loss to the Cowboys, should have been gone. Oh, he shouldn't have even been around this year. When you fire a coach in the National Football League, you are not only admitting failure, which is, you know, a brave thing to do, but you're paying off somebody to not coach your team. You're throwing money away, and you could be like, oh, you got a gajillion dollars, what do you care? But at the end of the day, what you are doing is going back into the unknown, more likely than not. You're going into the unknown. And yeah, if the Giants hire Steve Spagnuolo, like Ian Rappaport was throwing that name out yesterday. You hire Spagnuolo, you bring in a guy who's won a champion. He's like he was a DC in the Coughlin years, right? Before mm-hmm. he was the DC of the Reed years. Mm-hmm. You're bringing in a guy who's going to have a second shot at head coaching because when he was in St. Louis, we all know at the end of the day, it didn't work out. And so yeah, there's lots of reasons why that sounds like a sound move. But you'd have to find an offensive coordinator. It could be your interim coach, Kafka, who sticks around, who's going to coach up Dart. And then if Dart does well with this guy, then this guy's going to leave for a head coaching job. And these are all things that might be better than Daboll, might be better at getting the team prepared, might be better at closing these games out. You're certainly going to have a better defense, that you know. But there's still some unknowns. You got to find a new staff. You got to find, you're starting from scratch. You just don't want to do it, especially if you like the guy and you know the guy is connected to your quarterback. And then on top of it, you know, you could see all the videos of Dart being an large part of Daboll call, all that. You just don't want to do it. So you're going to fire LaFleur. Fire him. Get out of here. You just lost two in a row. You're 5-3-1. You're coaching for your job. They lose to the Giants. You're now 5-4-1. Fire him. Put in Halfley, the DC from, you know, the former HC of Boston College. You got this guy, right? The guy who handed things off to the what's up Trevor, right? Mm. And
he's a good coach.
He is. And everyone thinks he's going to be a great head coach next. So you got him there. Let's just do that and find someone else to call the plays.
Like Brian Daboll.
Mm. Forget about the guy who's won 55 games in his first 5 years. Just forget about that guy. Just forget about the guy. 56 games. Still one better than Sirianni. It's just nuts. It's nuts. Take a beat and see how the next couple of weeks play out. And let him finish. It's crazy how things turn around. I know you feel differently, Chris. You're in the fire everybody mode. You like firing everybody. You like this. This game stinks. The team has no chance at winning. Fire the coach.
Brockman got a short leash.
Yeah.
Short leash.
Well, the short leash worked for him in New England.
I mean,
it was the right move.
It was the right move. And you know how many Browns fans are like, we had Vrabel sitting there.
Yep. You sure did.
Last year on the after the Titans, you know,
I don't think the results would have been the same for Vrabel, though.
Doesn't matter. It's about culture. Coaches bring culture. Talk about what's going on in Green Bay. Undisciplined. What happens in playoff games?
The only thing last night that is indictable, from what I saw, undisciplined. Your best offensive player in many ways, shapes, and forms, in terms of pass catcher, blows his knee out in the middle of a game, and you're going to have to, it's not going to look great. You know, it's just not
going
to look great.
Why is your tight end the best pass catcher on your team? Oh. You spent a first-round pick on a wide receiver. Use him.
Well,
he's hurt.
I mean, he was inactive last night. Where's he been the other 9 weeks? Not getting the ball.
Some guys also need to, I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know if he's having trouble grasping this or it is an inefficiency that's laid at the feet of the coach. I don't know, nor do you. And at the end of the day, it is all about results. Yep. I do understand that. I get it.
One playoff win in 4 years is unacceptable for the Green Bay Packers.
Best pass catchers on a team. I've also included George Kittle outside of McCaffrey, went before he got there. Kelsey. For championship teams.
Gronk.
You're talking about the Hall of Fame all-time greats.
I know.
Outliers.
How do you not know that Tucker Kraft isn't one of those eventually at the end of the day? Listen.
One thing about the Packers, they always have great tight ends.
You don't want to fire your coach if you don't have to. It's that simple. But there is a reason why they didn't extend him. Just two losses in a row. Everybody take a beat. Now they lose to the Giants and their interim head coach, maybe starting Russell Wilson.
Oh,
then the drumbeat will get higher, yeah. Or they'll win that game and they're 6-3-1, and off you go. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take one last call, then we'll do overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. I don't want to be up against it. Mike, I don't know what you're doing over there. You just hung up on some poor dude.
No, that was a person.
Wasn't a person. That was a person.
No longer
a person on hold. Sam in Terre Haute, Indiana. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Rich. I do want to say I took up your movie recommendation for Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Yes, sir.
It was definitely an improvement on Terre Haute if there was a layer of cheese covering that whole town.
All right. So you've done your homework, and I appreciate that.
I did.
Well done. Yeah,
so I'm currently stranded in Newark, New Jersey, coming back from the Colts-Falcons-Berlin game.
Mm.
So, and I want to say that's, I know you were at the Frankfurt game 2 years ago.
Yes, sir.
And that very, very much felt like a neutral game location. Like, there wasn't an overwhelming fan group from one side or the other. But this Berlin game, it felt truly like a Colts home game.
Wow.
With how many people were rooting for the Colts. In fact, they had the Lucas Oil Stadium in-house announcer was there at Berlin doing the in-stadium announcing. So, it was just an amazing experience, and I hope this is what we can see going forward from the NFL with its international series.
Hey, listen, you're talking to a guy who's seen a ton of international games, and I love the London games. There's a different sense in Germany. There just really is. There's an intensity, and I think part of that, you know, comes from the fact of, I never really looked it up. I guess I should if we keep bringing it up. How many World League of American Football / European League teams there were in Germany? There were a lot. I think there was one in London and one in Scotland, right? There was Scottish Claymores. Was that one of those teams?
Claymores.
But back in the day, there was Rhine Fire. There was one in Berlin. Frankfurt Galaxy.
Yeah, Hamburg, Frankfurt. Yeah, Rhein.
You know what I mean? And so American football has been exposed. Yeah, the German population has been exposed to American football a lot more than any other spot, I believe, on that continent. And you're seeing it. And it is great. The Munich game, when Brady was with the Bucs and Pete Carroll brought the Seahawks in, both of those guys said it felt like a Super Bowl. And they would obviously know about playing against each other in one of those. So I'm glad that you called in, Sam, and best of luck in the government shutdown world of Newark, New Jersey right now, trying to get home. Thanks for the call. That's Sam in Terre Haute, Indiana. All right, let's take a break. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, and then one general manager out in the NBA in Dallas, one quarterback coming back in Cincinnati. That's coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody.
You say, I don't tell you anything. We didn't know this.
Back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, it's a Tuesday. You know what that means?
Yeah.
It's Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday time. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there, Chris?
Hey, guys. Happy Tuesday. Good
What's
to
up,
see you. Rich,
Tuesday.
Rich, you're so positive and like your energy and vibes.
Oh, boy. I know what this means.
It's fantastic. No, it's what the world needs right now, and it's infectious. That was the word I'm looking for. Infectious.
Okay.
However, I'm here to balance that out. The Eagles did not impress me at all. They have not impressed me much this season, and they are winning one playoff game max this year.
I hope you're right. DJ.
I understand why AJ Brown is pissed all the time. Can that man get a target that's not fourth down and a 30-yard bomb when you should be running the football?
It looks terrible, but I can't sit here and say this.
Saquon Barkley, I told you this was going to happen. I told you that he was going to be half of what he did was last year.
Correct.
And he has not looked great at all.
I understand the reason behind this, and I'll say this.
And is Hurts mid? Hurts is kind of mid.
No, he's not mid. Get out of here.
Mid.
9 games from his third overall pick, second-year player, and this is where he can now sit there all of a sudden and call Jalen Hurts.
Oh, you would rather
mid.
Have Drake May than Jalen Hurts going forward. Admit it to yourself, please.
Okay,
we're in trouble. That's all I got. One guy's
had two of the best Super Bowl performances ever. The other one is just halfway through his second season. All right, this guy over here. That's an overreaction. How about this, Chris? I'll give you this one.
Oh, Rich Eisen.
Oh,
I don't think that's unreasonable to see the way these things look and the way the rest of the
conference is playing. Obviously, but they just don't look good.
I understand this reaction, but you're giving them a playoff win. You're giving them to be the final four in the NFC. I would sign for that.
Yeah,
I
think one max. They just don't look like a Super Bowl team.
Or
they
are the one seed and they win a playoff and they're back in the NFC Championship game. I think that's entirely doable, and that both of those scenarios fit into this topic bar, so I'll give you the check mark on this one.
But if you're telling me they're better than the Rams or the Seahawks or the Lions right now, I'm not.
They will
no
not
chance.
Be above the Rams in my power rankings this week. I just don't know where I'm putting the Rams. Where else, Chris?
Rams should be number one. Let's talk about it. The burner under Matt LaFleur's seat just got put on simmer.
Of course it just did. He was asked He was asked about it by the press.
It's getting hot.
And he's not given a contract extension.
I mean, I wrote this before all of that.
No, I understand that. But, dude, it's not deserved.
It's
I think it's stupid. You went from 5-1-1 to 5-3-1. You still have half your season to go. Both games against the Chicago Bears. You got another one against the Lions to try and sweep them. You're taking on the Giants and their interim head coach this week. Get out of here, man.
Interim coach bump. You know that always happens.
They have some tough games to go. Interim coach bump. Okay.
We said the same thing about how'd that work Jeff for Tennessee? Saturday.
How'd that work for him?
I mean,
okay.
All right.
Onward. This is true, but stupid. What else? Next on True But Stupid.
That should be a drop.
True But Stupid.
That's a good joke. That's a good segment.
Okay.
Idea.
True But Stupid.
Or stupid might but be true.
We might have just come up with a new segment.
Yeah, true but stupid.
But stupid.
I love it. We should have Del Tufo host that one.
We got to talk about the Bears. They're balling. Caleb Williams is looking like the number one pick. Okay. Earlier in the year, I said maybe he needed a timeout. He's figured it out. Ben Johnson is going to be a top two coach of the year candidate in the voting.
Oh, man. I you know how it works, dude. New coaches who surprise are always in that, but right now Shane Steichen and Vrabel are two games better. So top two, one of those teams are going to fall off the point where voters are going to put Ben Johnson above them because
one of those teams is definitely going to fall off.
I'll say this is an overreaction and ask you to move on. What else you got, Chris?
The Texans are going to crash the AFC wildcard party.
I'm not going to push back on that one, although they've got a way to go. That was what a big comeback win
Huge
that was
win.
For Davis Mills.
Unbelievable.
On Jacksonville. I mean, Hoskins, if you wouldn't mind, put up the AFC standings so I can at least be somewhat knowledgeable here. Sure. They're only a game behind a team they've just beaten, right, in Jacksonville. That one is going to be just leaving mark. Jacksonville almost had a road win like that. It would have been amazing. So they've split. That was big. That avoided being, I mean, if they had lost to go to 3-6 to be swept by Jacksonville, that would have been massive. What a big win that was for Houston. Now they're at Tennessee back to 5-5 and Jacksonville has a charge. Oh yeah. Yeah. They might not even be, they might leapfrog Jacksonville by this point next week. And then week 14 at Kansas City, let's go. At Indianapolis before that, Buffalo, next 4 weeks. Our rubber meets the road. So they're going to crash the AFC wildcard party, which means what? Sniffing it or actually hit it?
They're going to be in it. It's going to be close.
Are they invited or do they show? Ooh. Do they have a seat?
Seven seed.
I'll say that's not an overreaction. What else?
Two more. This team had every reason to just fold it up. They're coach, they're trading players, all the rumors, the way they perform. The Dolphins are going to have a winning record the rest of the season.
Did you see McDaniels? Did you see Mike McDaniels show up, drive his car past a Bills, spot, party spot on the way home from the game? It's the elbow room. Did you see that?
Pretty funny.
Listen, I root for the guy.
They could have packed it in.
I root for the guy. So they've got next game against Washington, home for New Orleans at the Jets.
They can rattle off a little something here.
This is not, you're in the wrong, right church, wrong pew. Wrong right church, wrong segment. This is more higher register than overreaction Monday.
Okay.
This is more higher register.
I mean, the Patriots will be resting players week 18, so they might get that
I'll just call
one.
This an overreaction until I see them play more consistent football. It's just 1 minute they beat Atlanta, next week they can't stop from shooting themselves in the foot, and then they turn around and beat Buffalo. Let's see what happens against a Washington team that's lost four in a row by three touchdowns or more. In Spain, by the way. What else?
TJ, everybody had 5 years. I'm back.
Finish up.
Finish up. Last
finish
one.
Up strong.
Winner of Chiefs Broncos is going to win the AFC West this weekend.
Why are you discounting the Chargers?
I was about to say it's a no Chargers.
Why?
Too many injuries.
I don't know about that, man.
They're on their eighth tackle.
The Steelers, I got it. The Steelers just turned over the Colts six times, and that team didn't get to Herbert as much as they liked. And they just dismantled that team and left them wondering if they can actually make the playoffs.
Yeah, but wait for it. They're the Chargers.
Come on. You can't do that. I'll call this an overreaction. How does that sound?
I don't like it.
I know you don't like it. That's an overreaction. I'm not discounting the Chargers. It's not a two-team race, pal. There's three. And as a matter of fact, the Chargers have already beaten the Chiefs, and they stand in front of the Chiefs right now.
Chiefs are favored to win the Super Bowl.
I get it. As a matter of fact, they are my pick to win the Super Bowl.
You're sticking with it.
Gents, I have the NFL Game Day morning Thanksgiving show. It is the time when I get my first mulligan. And at this point in time, I'm not changing it. Chiefs over Lions.
You're not going to change off either of them?
Not either or one of them.
Interesting.
Did you see overreaction or not? One last for you. Overreaction or not?
Hang on.
Dan Campbell put on his glasses, not because he needed to read the play sheet. That's just his sort of Clark Kent get up for being the offensive coordinator. He's Coach Superman.
I like it.
And Kent coordinator.
I like it.
Which is that an overreaction? Or he just really needs them to see the play sheet.
And that play sheet was pretty
funny. You know what I mean?
You know.
Here you go. Coordinator. Coach.
I like Ben Campbell.
Coordinator.
Calling plays. This is a fun development.
Coach. It is.
It's a fun development.
It's stones, man.
What you call him? Dan Coordinator?
All right. That is.
Or Clark Coordinator.
Clark Coordinator. The Hyundai Getaway sales event, by the way, is going on right now. And get away with a deal so right it almost feels wrong, because right now you can get a great deal on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe and Santa Fe Hybrid models. There's also a bold and stylish Elantra packed with all the latest tech. The Ioniq 5, Ioniq 6 is where you can go all electric. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with an awesome deal only during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. All right, hour three is upon us. Joe Burrow looks like he's coming back. Nico Harrison.
He gone.
Full Magic Johnson. And you know who's here? Ted Danson, Mary Steenburgen together.
Yeah.
And we've got a great celebrity true or false for all of that. That's coming up here on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.